Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 15th of April, recording at 9:04 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, the very first thing that I should mention, it is on the website, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Monday. I'm taking Mrs. Fuller on a long overdue trip to Paris, where my sister and brother-in-law are also visiting. So I will be away until next Tuesday, when I'll have my next comment and audio. Now, Owen Tracy, the forum editor, may well post some charts and perhaps a brief comment and possibly even a brief audio. Okay. Therefore, although Friday is my usual long-term big picture view, I'm going to certainly do that tonight so that I can get in at least one of those a week. So, where do we actually stand in these very choppy and difficult markets at the moment? Now, they're choppy and difficult for just about everyone because they're choppy for everyone, full stop, but they're difficult for just about everyone because there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets, and therefore we're getting whipsaw moves. But let's put this in context of the macro picture here first. I maintain that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, and therefore I expect Wall Street to eventually head back down and probably take out those lows that we saw in October 2002. I also feel that the very good and quite predictable medium-term rally, or technical bull as I've called it and others have called it, that we've enjoyed so much really over the last year, that it is very much in its latter stages and the alarm bells are ringing. Now, technically, we've seen most of the uptrends broken, and additionally, we've had the deterioration in long-dated government bond markets, indicating that inflationary concerns are entering the market, whereas that had been very, very much in the background, if it registered at all, during the earlier stages of the overall stock market rally. So I do feel that this is quite a dangerous time here as far as stock markets are concerned. I've said this on a number of occasions, that we've seen the best part of the rallies by far, and that we're certainly not going to see gains anything like what we saw last year. And my long-term view really has been that we would almost certainly see some important highs for these rallies here this year. Now, there are an awful lot of variables, and nobody can predict exactly how these are going to turn out. Well, one is the bond markets. How quickly will they slide? Well, I'll get onto those in a moment. But another one, crucial to the United States, is what happens in the presidential election polls. Now, you don't need to be a political scientist to appreciate that Bush is in a bit of trouble here right now, and it's kind of neck and neck in the polls. But there's still, almost 200 days to go until the November election, so a lot can happen between now and then. But you've seen the charts, I've posted the historical data, you know that if an incumbent Republican is ahead in the polls, then it's usually a pretty good year with gains of over 14% on average over the last century. On the other hand, if that incumbent Republican looks like losing during the election year, then the gain is much, much smaller. I think it's around 3%, as I recall. Now, why is there a gain at all? Well, because the incumbent party is doing everything that it possibly can to create the feel-good factor in the market. So we'll have the Bush administration focused on certainly on what the stock market's doing and what the economy's doing, and trying to spin as good a tale as possible. And it would all be spin because we've had the mother of all monetary and fiscal reflations in the U.S. over the last year and more, and therefore that's got to produce an improved jobs picture, despite all the exporting of jobs and the productivity increases and the reluctance to hire. And it has got to produce some good corporate profits, which we've been seeing all along. And it's got to produce some reasonable economic data, which we're also seeing in here. Now, okay, the U.S. economy is pumped up on steroids, but there's no point in saying that it's not recovering, because it has been recovering in here. There are all sorts of questions about how sustainable it actually is, let alone if interest rates start to rise, and that's the very real risk that people now see that interest rate increase on the horizon, whereas you only go back a couple of months, and the people who are shouting loudest about interest rates or getting the most publicity at any rate were saying that we wouldn't see a rate increase at all this year, and we might not even see a rate increase next year. Well, there's a growing feeling that the Fed's slipping behind the curve, and that's not favorable for stock markets overall. So the best that I envisage here for Wall Street, and therefore the European markets, which just do not uncouple from Wall Street, and besides, the growth is pretty mediocre in continental Europe, and the growth in the UK is, well, it's mostly the national health, isn't it? So in terms of jobs and the part of the economy that is responsible for the good figures is really the public sector. So that's all that government borrowing and spending that's taking place, while the manufacturing sector of the UK economy is struggling here, not least because of the strength of the pound and all the competition that's out there. The services sector is doing a little bit better, particularly the financial area. But you know, that's very much a roller coaster ride as far as the financial area is concerned. Okay, so what's it actually mean? What it means, I feel, for the European and U.S. stock markets is the best that we're likely to see is further ranging at these levels. And I maintain that the highs that we saw last month or slightly earlier were at least penultimate peaks for those markets. Are some better than others? Absolutely. I think that most of the Asian markets, will outperform, but they won't uncouple entirely. And again, a number of those patterns show top formation type characteristics, and suggesting that they too have seen at least penultimate peaks. But I've been staying in there with a number of positions in Thailand and in India, and I reduced the Thailand ones back in the beginning of the year and then increased them again not long ago, last month. So I still feel that if they are tops, that they're going to be rather complex tops. And then, of course, Japan, I've been more content to play from the long side, and will continue to do so. But again, is this a safe environment for investors? No, it's a risky environment compared to what we had this time last year, and for most of last year and the beginning of this year. Okay, now moving on to the bond markets. Here, I regard this as a very dangerous area as far as the government bond markets are concerned. And I think the corporate bond markets, we've obviously seen the best of the plays there. Government bonds, though, first, the yields, I think, are unrealistically low. Let's take the U.S. bond market, where people have just been playing that yield curve for all they're worth. And by that, I've said over and over again, these are mostly institutions, certainly in the U.S., the banks have been very, very active in this. And we've also had a number of foreign financial institutions and other institutions playing the yield curve. In other words, borrowing at the very low short-term rates from the Fed and then putting that money into bonds of various medium to longer-term denomination, getting a higher yield the further out they actually went. And this was very much a leveraged play. So that looked like it was money for old rope, as long as the entire market was confident that the Fed wasn't going to do anything on interest rates, and bond prices were continuing to rise. But as you know, they've come down with a thump in the last few weeks, and I maintain that this is really a very dangerous environment, that this is the latter stage of an overall top formation development process. U.S. Treasury bonds weakened again in here today. They didn't actually lead on the way down. The JGBs, well, they tend to turn pretty much at the same time, but the JGBs were clearly weaker a little bit earlier than the U.S. Treasuries. But the JGBs have been ranging lower, and the Treasury bonds more recently have come down really quite sharply, and they're down another 10 ticks in here today. The range, just looking at it on the Bloomberg screen here, has been, I'm looking at the June futures contract, has been 108.21 to 107.20, and they closed at 107.25, so only 5 ticks off the low on the day. Now, so as I said before, I maintain that we're in the latter stages of this top formation development, the process that began with it high in bond prices, low in yields last June. Now, how the bonds actually perform will have a huge impact on how the stock market actually performs. Now, I'm going to back up just for a moment, because there's some trades that I have conducted in here in one investment position. And in terms of the trades, we had a downside key day reversal by the Japanese indices today, and that includes the Nikkei and the TOPIX index. Those were quite clear signals, bolts from the blue really, as far as most of us are concerned, because those indices had been very, very strong. Certainly as far as I was concerned, they looked fine, but of course other markets were encountering some profit taking, and Japan got whacked today. And we also had the Tokyo second section get a key day reversal on the downside. You know how strong that had been, up 33 out of 35 days through yesterday. So that's a tradable signal, that's a bearish signal. And I have a long position in the Nikkei, which I foolishly increased a bit and just earlier in the week. But what I did is I took out 2/3 of it, and at a profit, taking out its spread bet position, I took out 785 points on that. So that wasn't bad for a short-term trade, although I would have done a lot better if I'd sold it tomorrow, but I never would have. I beg your pardon, sold it yesterday, because the Nikkei fell nearly 300 points in here today. But I'm reasonably satisfied with that short-term trade. Now, what about the rest of the position? That's vulnerable because of the key reversal. My feeling is that Japan still has one of the stronger patterns overall, albeit short-term overbought, particularly that second section. But it will probably come back. And what I did is that I hedged in the NASDAQ. I shorted the NASDAQ 100 index in here today. That's weaker. You can see that chart. Now, I also left a message with my broker late today to sell that position that I have in Zero Inc., which is in my pension fund. That's a Japanese share that I've mentioned on a number of occasions. It's had a terrific performance. I would go a good solid performance. I shouldn't exaggerate. And with that gain and the second section index, it's a second section stock looking so overextended, I want to step aside for a while. And Will Chawner reminded me that we've got, I think we have the, what is it, that cherry blossom week, the golden week in Japan, when people take a lot of days off. And so the market's closed, and I think probably today's reaction in the market indicated some profit taking ahead of that period. And so I think it's probably good to sit out. It may be the week after next, I can't be sure, which is a golden week, but it may be a good idea, I felt, to mostly sit out the next fortnight. So I've reduced my exposure there. In other words, I've got lots and lots of cash here now. Okay, that covers those positions. Now, the bonds, you know, I'm still short in the U.S. Treasury bonds and the JGBs. The JGBs actually rallied today, got close to my quite stop, my got close to my tight stop there. The U.S. Treasuries, as I just told you, have been relatively weak. Now, before I move on from the stock markets, just a quick review. Mostly soft on the day, but with Japan and the Hang Seng Index, that's been very weak. That really does surprise me. I'm awfully glad I had that in the money stop, even though I gave back most of the profit. That came down another 190 points in here today. That's certainly not looking happy on the charts. So there's a risk that we do see a further correction in here, although I'd be surprised if markets went straight down. On the other hand, if that U.S. Treasury bond market continues to go down through its lows of last September, completes the top, then I think markets will be on even, stock markets, that is, will be on even thinner ice. I'm not jumping out of all my positions, as you see, but I have been reducing over time in here, and I'm more liquid than I have been in pretty well any time since, this time last year when I was starting to move back into these into these stock markets. Okay, moving on here. In the currency markets, it's again choppy action overall in terms of euro dollar. Not wild swings in here, but we got down to a low of 118.94, but are a cent above that now, nearly at 119.80. A little bit of tail on the last 2 days on the evident on the candlestick charts, meaning that we're probing the lows but then closing higher than that. But overall, there's still no sign that this reaction is over. Now, I'm talking about the euro's reaction against the dollar, and put it the other way around, take the dollar against the rest, that there's still no evidence that the dollar's technical rally in here is over. I do feel it is a technical rally, although I had said earlier before this rally actually began that I felt that we had seen most of the dollar's weakness. But generally, and certainly against the euro, it's coming down, the euro is coming down, or the dollar's moving up against the euro more slowly than it had fallen. In other words, the euro surged up to that high against the US dollar. It's coming down much, much more slowly. Therefore, even if we saw the high in euro dollar up at 120, up at 129, I think that there's a very good chance that that high could be retested, and I'm not convinced that we have seen that final high overall, but I did describe it as an intermediate term high, and these corrections often can, well, they can easily last for 3 to 6 months. So I'm not playing that, but if I were, I would be long the dollar, and that goes against in terms of a number of other trades as well. There is still a big short position out there in terms of the US dollar. And while that's been reduced somewhat, and those people start to come back in, but still you do have a fairly large short position, and there is scope for a further squeeze of those US dollar bears. Just as we're seeing quite a squeeze now on the people who've been playing that government bond carry trade. Okay, and moving on to the commodities. Now, this is the area where I haven't really finished on the currencies here. I think that in terms of overall trends, well, first, most things are in ranging phases. Again, with this dollar, just think of it in terms of a further medium-term rally for the U.S. dollar. I'm not looking for any big sustained move by the U.S. dollar. But psychologically, you can see people who were too bearish to the dollar. They think interest rates are either going to stay where they are, again, for most other currencies, or perhaps even come down. And talking about euro rates coming down, which may or may not happen, but everybody is now agreeing that the next move on US rates has to be up. So psychologically it's changed in here for the medium term, and that has certainly big knock-on implications for other markets, not least in the natural resources area. And we're seeing this certainly in the metals. Now, the metals story, I've said that there are two big themes to this. One was the dollar's weakness, now the dollar's rally. And the dollar's weakness certainly helped to support the gains that we saw in gold and the industrial commodities. But the big story is the supply inelasticity theme that I've banged on about. Now, in terms of long-term secular trends, that's one that I expect to run for quite some time. But we are in a medium-term corrective phase for these commodities that is abundantly clear at this stage, has been for a while. They've been markets, well, not all that long, but these have been picked off one by one. And the ones that peaked earliest in the cycle, for instance, nickel, peaked, had the best move upwards among the industrial metals, peaked way ahead of the others, I think it was in January. And it's still looking vulnerable, so until that really does improve significantly, I think we want to avoid long positions in this area. If I had any positions in the metals right now, I would be short. I don't want to do that because I regard this as a medium-term correction within a secular bull market. So I'm content to stand aside. And the last one that I closed out, of course, was my big palladium position. Now, I was relieved to see that bounce back up to 325.10 briefly today, although it did close down on the day, 311.85. But it certainly hasn't collapsed, and if people have been, some of you have had the dispositions, if you have been at all inclined to follow my move and ease out of that, then at least you've had a market that's been holding up here reasonably well. Not all of these metals are soft or going to come down, because the supply and elasticity theme is more important than the dollar. Than the dollar theme for them now. And for instance, gold at 399, I think this really has low downside risk here, $10-$20 at the most. The markets are full of surprises, but basically I'm saying that gold is moving back into a buying range here, and it really does require, I believe, a stronger dollar still, which I think we'll probably get, to bring gold down a little bit, further. And something like palladium, I'm just hoping it doesn't have a brief pause here and then run away from me on the upside, as silver did. I mean, this is not a boast because it's really a point against me, but I felt I'd done marvelously in silver over the last 2 years. But then I was on the sidelines for the best part of the move when it went soaring on up to 850. Well, now it's back at 713. It closed up on the day, having been as low as what got down to, I think 685. I have buy orders starting in the mid-$6 range, so I'd be delighted to see these pull back a bit further. Again, I'll maintain that the metals are far less dangerous themselves than the actual shares, because all sorts of things can go wrong with the shares, from bad management to accidents with the mine, or else when the metal prices are higher as they have been recently, then they mine the less profitable parts of the ore body, whereas when metal prices are very depressed, the mining companies go for what are known as the eyes, the richest seams, in other words, because they can stay in business that way. And you can say all sorts of things. You can have accidents there, or political developments that take place, or tax changes, labor problems, and so on, and all of those, if they have any impact on the actual metal price itself, strikes, that they will be bullish for the metal price. So I regard the the metals is much, much more risky. And the best time to buy the shares, I think, is when metal prices are extremely depressed. Now, if we get a long pullback in the metals, then we may, and a softness on Wall Street, we may well see those mining companies come down to levels that make them irresistible for the next upswing. But so I don't go on too long. I think that this supply inelasticity theme is really going to run and run in here over the next few years, but there's no way that it happens in a straight line. I've said before, and it's a point that I should never stop repeating, that these commodity markets are extremely volatile. They're quite thin markets, and you tend to get one-way traffic for a while, up and down, because you have a market that's dominated by the producers and consumers. And they either all, well, the producers, when they want to get in, they tend to buy quite aggressively, and then the producers hold back on some of the supplies. It's a little bit of a cat and mouse game. And then when these markets are in what is a cyclical upward swing, you get a lot of hedge fund activity. And that adds to the volatility overall, although it doesn't take them higher than they would otherwise go, because really those hedge funds speculators such as myself, well, we tend to be short to medium term players in here. In other words, if we buy those metals, or as we were doing a few weeks ago, we'll hold them as long as the trend looks good, and if it starts to tire, well, we're going to start to come out, and so put that supply back into the market. And there are all kinds of, I'm digressing, but there are all kinds of studies that I'd conducted years and years ago showing that where you have the futures markets, where you get a very, you get a fair amount of speculative activity, the peak to trough extremes are much smaller than in markets where you do not have the futures contracts, and therefore you have little to no speculative activity, and they're just dominated almost entirely, almost exclusively by the producers and consumers. So you don't need to worry that you're creating havoc in there if you have either a long or short position in any of these markets. Okay, oil. I did pick up some more natural gas in here today. Crude oil is quite strong, up 70 cents today. I've got a profit on that position. The chart looks quite reasonable in here now, but I've been underwater. I haven't had that trade very long, but I've been underwater more often than not. And I am concerned that gasoline could easily become a political issue for the Bush administration, and that they will try to exert what influence they can, which may not be all that much, to keep prices from running away on the upside. So if I see any further gains in here next week, I may well take that crude oil position out, take the profit in it. Natural gas is probably a safer play here at this stage. Now, are these trades low risk? No. They're high risk because we have choppy emotional markets. For instance, that one of what I regard as one of the lower risk ones that I had previously was Japan, because that was trending. But given that key day reversal in here, if that doesn't mark a short-term pullback, it is at least a warning shot across the bows for the short to medium term. So it's risky, and as you know, I just shorted the NASDAQ in here today. And is that a low-risk trade? Absolutely not, because it's a ranging pattern. Okay, I've shorted it coming off the higher side of its range recently, so hopefully it won't get into trouble. But I think this is an environment that if you feel, well, this is all a little bit hairy, and I'd much rather just be sitting on the sidelines because you're not a trader and you're just a long-term player, this is not a bad time to have a lot of cash. And I have a great deal of cash relative to my investment positions, and I rely for most of my return on some of my leveraged plays, and those are really quite small now compared to what they have been over the last couple of years. And my pension fund positions, though, are still quite fully invested in equities, mostly in Asian equities, with a little bit in gold shares, and I'm content with that balance at the moment. How well, have a terrific terrific few days. I hope you have as much fun as I hope for myself on this elongated weekend in Paris. All the best.